Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
This is to you only, for you are the only living God. And you are the everlasting Father. You are the Father of glory. The God of spirits. The God of all flesh. You are the creator of all things. And what a privilege. What an amazing grace. That by your spirit of adoption, we can lift our hands in the warmth of your embrace. With a strong sense of your love for us and call you Abba. Abba, we bless you. Abba, we bless you. Abba, we praise your holy name. And we worship you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. The entrance of your word gives light and grants understanding to men. Your word is life and medicine to all our flesh. Your word makes us wise. And by your word, we take delivery of our glorious inheritance in Christ. Today, Father, let there be a communication and an impartation, a release and a delivery of the fullness of your blessings through your word. Let men live here armed and equipped, strengthened for uncommon exploits. Lord, let men live here empowered for outstanding impact. Let men live here with loads of testimonies, with shouts of joy. Let men live here with dancing feet and raised hands in glory of your name. Thank you for all you do. And thank you for what you're doing in this moment. Wonderful Holy Spirit. Do your pleasure and spare nothing. And we vow to give you all the glory. Even to your Son Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. And let the people of the Lord say a very big amen. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord today, give the Lord a mighty praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Bless the name of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone by your side to church, to your left and to your right. Let them know how excited you are that they are in church. Get to know their names and let them get to know your names. Make sure there will be nobody by your side that remains a stranger today. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll go straight into the word that God has for us today. And we are still on the series Prophetic Kairos Season. Somebody say Prophetic Kairos Season. Come on, shout it loud. I say Prophetic Kairos Season. Now, we took our text from Psalms chapter 102 verse 13. Let's see it. That has been our main text. Psalm 102. Verse 13. Hold that neighbor as we read and read out loud. 1, 2, go. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. One more time. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. And we told you that prophetic kairos is predicated on God's mercy. Somebody say God's mercy. So it is a time, a set time to favor, a set time to bless, a set time to turn around things on the basis of the mercy of God. On the basis of the mercy of God. So I'm not going to go back there. Let's also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read from verse 1 and then we'll get to verse 2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Tell your neighbor, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Hello. How many of you need the help of God in this season of your life? Let me see you. How many of you can fix your life, handle your life on your own without God? How many of you can achieve and fulfill your visions and aspirations for life on your own without God? How many of you can? Now, this is what it means not to receive the grace of God in vain. The grace of God is the help of God made available to those who can't help themselves. So man could not save himself. The grace of God brought salvation. So we now have the gift of salvation. It's a gift from God. Man could not become righteous by his good deeds. The grace of God brought righteousness. We are now recreated in Christ in that nature of righteousness and of holiness. No one on his own could have been holy. The grace of God did that. And Jesus Christ offered himself, became an atonement, a propitiation for our sins, for us to have that grace. Man couldn't be blessed all by himself. He could earn a living. He could work very hard. He could have some success. But the grace of God brought the blessing of God that makes one rich in faith, rich in health, rich in peace, rich in prosperity, rich in wealth, rich in all good things with no sorrow added to it. Because the best of man, the best of the natural has sorrow with it. You see, man can till the ground, eat bread of it, but the Bible says it's going to be with thorns and what? Tessels. Thorns and tessels stands for piercing. Piercing stands for sorrow. And that's why when Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't just carrying the sin of the world. He carried every curse that came through sin. One of them was the thorns that pierced his head. You see, the head of the man is the center of work. That's where your mind is. That's where your intelligence is. That's where the seat of your wisdom. That's what your head represents. And that thorns that he wore was representing the cost of poverty. The cost of every sorrow that will come through the labor of man. Say thorns and thistles will pierce him. So Jesus allowed thorns and thistles to pierce him. He bore shame on his face. They spat on his face. They tore his face so that you and I can have honor. The grace of God is now available on another person's account. The perfect price that Jesus Christ paid for us. Now, the question is, all of us who have come to Christ, we have received that grace. What are we going to do with it? You wake up in the morning. You have some questions you need to answer. You try to answer it, but you're not getting it. You have some things you've got to fix. You try to fix it, but you're not getting it. Do you still remember you have grace available? You have help. I'm going to come back to this scripture. I pray it won't throw me off, because there is such insight God is saying at this moment. I have to stop here. Hebrews chapter 4. Get there. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And you and I who have come to Christ, we have come. So that's where we are now. Lift your hands. Say, in Christ I live. Say, in Christ I move. Say, in Christ I have my being. So we have come to the throne of grace. Now, what did he say will happen when we come to the throne of grace? He said that we may obtain what? That we may obtain what? You will arise and have mercy on Zion. Is there anybody here who knows in this season you just want to enjoy the mercy of the Lord? Lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive the mercy of the Lord, and I decree and declare the mercy of the Lord is speaking over my life, is speaking over my health, speaking over my family, the mercy of the Lord speaking over my ministry, speaking over my visions, my aspirations, my endeavors, the work of my hands, the labor of my faith, in the name of Jesus, in my going out, in my coming in, the mercy of the Lord is speaking over me. The mercy of the Lord overrules every written judgment, every spoken judgment, every incantation, every divination against my life, against my children, my children's children, against my posterity. By the mercy of the Lord, I am the posterity the Lord has flesh. The mercy of the Lord, that blood of sprinkling speaks over me, is upon me. Therefore, I am not devoured, I am not destroyed, I do not perish. The devourer, the destroyer passes over me. In the name of Jesus, the mercy of the Lord is mine. I am the man the Lord has showed mercy. How do you receive what God gives by grace? By faith. And what is the spirit of faith? We believed and therefore we speak. So when you want to receive something, don't just say, I receive. You receive what? Say, I receive the mercy of the Lord. And begin to declare what the word of God says concerning his mercy. It's by his mercy we are not consumed. No. I'm not one to be eaten. Not one. I'm not food for the devil. By the mercy of the Lord. So the point is, we obtain. Somebody say, I obtain. Come on, shout it again. Say, I take. And it's going to be by what? Faith. As you believe, therefore what? Speak. Speak. I've taught you. When I start doing this, stop sitting down. Unless you're not trained. When I give you an instruction, follow me. If I train you, follow your training. Stop sitting down. You stand up. You speak what I'm saying. You've got to know when I've stopped preaching and when I'm making declarations. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Be trained in the spirit. Be trained. Be trained. Not when we are making confessions, you're just sitting down watching. The mercy of the Lord. Wow. Inspiring. Only those who say it from a believing heart take it. That's how to obtain it. Your tongue, your words is how to take what God gives by grace. Somebody say, I hear. So he said, let's therefore come boldly. Why boldly? Because with a sense of righteousness. To the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Watch the next thing. And find what? What's the purpose of grace? To help in the time of need. Hey, when you're dealing with something and you're a spiritual man, don't deal with it in your strength. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he gave us a name. In that name, there is power. In that name, there is authority. In that name, there is dominion. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Every knee, not just devil, creation too. Angels too. Every knee. Every knee. That's how you command the heavens. He is the Lord, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. When you speak in his name, angels move. The forces of light are mobilized on your behalf to your advantage. That's how we command the heavens. Creation bows to him. Creation hears him. That's how we speak to life. That's how we speak to times and seasons. That's how we command our days. That's how we command circumstances to turn around in our favor. That's how we speak to our businesses, speak to people, speak over our children. In his name, demons tremble. They bow. So the three realms of existence, heaven, earth, and hell, obeys him. He is Lord. Every tongue confesses that he is Lord. So be strong in the power of God. I learned it long time ago. When I'm dealing with anything, I come in the name of Jesus. I speak in the name of Jesus. I'm entering a negotiation. I speak in the name of Jesus. I'm doing anything. Every single time. When you see me now, by the time I'm through with this service, I speak in the name of Jesus. I want to enter the first service. I speak in the name of Jesus. I get into my office. I speak in the name of Jesus. That's how I am. I live that way. I live that way. I have no occasion and foot space in my life for the flesh. I don't have to switch in the spirit. I live in the spirit. That's how I live. I don't travel and come back in the spirit. That's what we are. That's who we are called to be. So look at what the Bible says. That we may find grace to help. That's one of the major purposes of grace. To help. I have help. There has to be a mindset. Stop crying. I have help. You're reading something, you're not understanding it. Say, I have help. You've been trying to fix your finances and you feel frustrated. Somebody say, I have help. The reason you're feeling frustrated is that you're trying to fix it on your own first. So, I learned it. I don't make God my last resort when I've tried everything myself and it doesn't work. I make God my first and all. My first and all. So I won't have the occasion to feel frustrated before remembering him. He guides me in the way I should follow. He takes me on the course I must be on. His paths, all his paths are paths of peace, pleasantness, and prosperity. There'll be days that'll be tough. There'll be days the enemy will want to try and tempt you. There'll be trials that will arise. But when you're with him and you put him first and all, one thing you're sure. He said to his disciples, hello, in this world you have trouble because there is a devil you're dealing with. There are different people that are agents of the devil. There are a lot of circumstances. There are people that will hate you. There are people that will betray you. There are people that want to rise against you. There are people that will persecute you. There will be issues you face. He said, but cheer up. Cheer up. I have overcome. Not you have overcome. I have. That means you're going to overcome because of my overcoming. Because my overcoming is a gift. I'm now giving you the victory I've won for you. That's why the scripture says we are more than conquerors. Not that we are conquerors. We are more than. He conquered. He gave us the benefit of the conquer, of the conquering. We are now the beneficiaries of his conquest. We are the beneficiaries of his conquest. You're feeling like giving up. You're feeling depressed. You're feeling suicidal. There is grace to help. So, why should you say, I've received Jesus? And you're confused. Okay, you felt confused first. It's not a problem. How did you stay confused for a whole full day? A whole full day. But you have Jesus. The next day you're still confused. For a whole full week. That means you received grace in vain. What God is saying is there is grace to help. In this time of confusion. But you're neglecting it. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Stop trying to do things on your own when you have help. And you don't have to cry. You don't have to try to convince God. No, you don't have to. You're going to see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Tell your neighbor, learn to obtain and find grace to help. In any time of need. He said, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Look at verse 2 so you understand. Verse 2. Everybody read and read out very loud. 1, 2, go. Stop. Make sure you're reading very loud. Don't keep your mouth shut. If that's, listen. The spiritual life walks through your tongue. If you're a Christian and you're always keeping your mouth shut, you will shut down your destiny. You open up your destiny by opening up your mouth. There is nothing like a quiet Christian. There is nothing like, I don't like to raise my voice. There are things that don't work until you raise your voice. Authority has a tone. People that you see that say they don't talk, meet them where they are arguing about politics, arguing about business, arguing about fashion, gossiping with about their friends, and you know that they can talk. Don't let the enemy shut you up. Goliath came out for 40 days. He will make great boasts, threats, and everybody in Israel were hiding. But one day, a lad, 17 years of age, came and heard his threat. He said, who is this? He said, this is a circumcised Philistine. Why are all of you hiding? To cut the story short, by the time he came, and he began to make the threat again, and the Bible said, Goliath said, am I a dog? You come against me with sticks and stones, and a sling? The Bible said David roared back. Who are you, uncircumcised Philistine, that you will defy the army of God? He said, today I will make you like a dog. I will cut off your head. He didn't have a sword, but he said, I will cut off your head. He said, I will feed your carcass. And he didn't stop. He said, not just you, all the Philistines that are here, a 17-year-old boy. He who is most bold in talking takes the victory. You want to win in a battle? Don't let any situation keep your mouth shut. The key is in the mouth. It's with words and mouths that God created the earth. You want to create your future? You better open your mouth. You want things to happen for you? You better open your mouth. Whatever keeps your mouth shut in the spirit has kept your destiny short. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your mouth is a weapon, a trigger in the spirit. I want everybody to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. verse 2. And I want you to read and read that loud. One to go. Let's dissect this thing. In an acceptable time, a Kairos season. Did he say, I will hear you or I have heard you? Aye, let me say that again. In an acceptable time, did he say, I will hear you or did he say, I have heard you? God is telling you, all my promises in Christ are yes and in him, amen. So if you pray according to my promise, I've heard you. God is telling you, before you pray, I want you to know, every answer to your prayers is already settled. I've given to you. He's just waiting for you to pray. So why were you confused for a whole day and you are just there with all the grace of I have heard you? And you didn't say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you're the God of all wisdom. And in Christ Jesus, you have made him to me wisdom from you. Your wisdom dwells in my heart. As I pray in the spirit, I pray that there be a stirring up of your wisdom. I receive clarity of direction. I know what to do. I know what to say. I know what step to take. And this thing will unravel. This thing will be solved. I pray in the Holy Ghost. And you start praying. Why didn't you do that? Why were you busy looking for who to call? You caught 5 people. What do you think? What do you think? The flesh, eating flesh, always want to know other people's opinion. What do you think? After all the 5 told you what they thought, you now became more confused. And you had help in an acceptable time. I have, not I will hear you. It means all your prayers have a promise of me to be answered. All. I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, somebody says soteria. That salvation is not just spiritual salvation. From spiritual death to spiritual life, that you're now saved. Soteria means deliverance. In the day of deliverance, it means wholeness. It means in the day of prosperity. I have helped you. Do you understand? I have help. Kai. I have help. Why am I going to be depressed? You're depressed because you feel like you're doing life alone. You're depressed because you feel like you're alone and there is no one to help. But I have help. You have help. Behold, now is the acceptable. So, in the acceptable time, I have heard you. Okay, when is the acceptable time? Now. When is the day of salvation? Now. Give me the NIV of it. Hold that neighbor by your side. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The NIV of it. And read out loud. 1, 2, go. When is the time of God's favor? And when is the day of salvation? When is your Kairos to be heard? When is your Kairos to be lifted? When is your Kairos to be honored? No, don't stop waiting and stop counting the calendar. Now. Somebody say now. Somebody say now. So, say with me, I will not receive the grace of God in vain. Say, I will engage the favor of God. Say, I will take advantage of the grace of God in my life. Say, I will avail myself to his mercy. Say, I have help. If you know that, you know that your spirit caught that truth, shout your loudest amen and give him a big praise. This is so important that I'm not even shifting a little so fast the way I want to shift. But let me see how much more I can give you in this service. So I told you prophetic Kairos season is predicated on God's mercy. Simply God's mercy. And I told you the first thing, prophetic Kairos is divine timing. An opportune time, a divine window of opportunity opened up by a prophetic word. And we worked on that. I also told you that prophetic Kairos is also a divinely orchestrated due season. A time when all prayers offered, seeds sown, work done, converge to bring forth an ordained or promised harvest. Now, I want to show you another dimension to it. Write this down. Prophetic Kairos is also the fullness of time. So it's not just an opportune time, an appointed time. It's not just a due season. It's also the fullness of time. That's what it is. It's also called the fullness of time. It is the time a divine purpose or plan, a divine purpose or plan is allotted to be fully manifest. So when God has a purpose and God has a plan, there is an allotted time that God himself sets for that purpose and that plan to be fully manifest. That's what it is. And you've got to understand that this comes after a process of incubation and preparation. So if you look at a woman, and God designed it that a man will know his wife, and the sperm, the seed of a man, will fertilize the egg of the woman, and then, boom, a baby comes. The moment a baby comes, God has an allotted time, the fullness of time for that woman. Within that time, remember, before you were formed in your mother's womb, God foreknew you. God knew the exact date you will come. God knew, and there is a plan for it. So some were born and they say it's premature, but not in God's timing. That's why you're here. If you were premature in God's timing, you won't be here. Some different things happen. There are even some babies that the mother didn't want to have. They did everything to abort. The baby just cushioned somewhere in the womb and not to go anywhere. They took all manner of things. At the end of the day, the baby came. Somebody say fullness of time. Come on, shout it. Fullness of time. So every divine plan and every divine purpose has an allotted time. There is a season for everything under the sun. And a time for every purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. And guess what? In that fullness of time, that fullness of time, the Bible says God makes all things beautiful in his time. So that time that was allotted for the full manifestation of that purpose, all the elements and forces of grace awakens to bring a full manifestation of that thing. Let's look at the man, John the Baptist. I want us to look at Luke chapter 1 verse 18. This one was born at a proper time, an appointed time, given a ministry, as it was written, a voice that will be crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. He was supposed to be the forerunner that will preach repentance and baptize people with water, preparing them. He's supposed to be the one that will come in the spirit of Elijah, that will give credit and will give validity to Jesus coming forth. He's the one that will introduce Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to Israel and say, hey, look at that one, the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. It was written. And at the proper time, the angel of the Lord appeared to his father Zechariah. And while he gave him the message and Zechariah was still doubting, he told Zechariah, you will speak nothing until the day. And until the day he was to be christened, he said, the name will be called what? John. And his ministry started. And after, I want you to watch what the scripture, chapter 1 verse 80. Chapter 1 verse 80. I didn't say 20. 80. I want you to hold your neighbor. Now let's gather it. Everybody read and read out loud. One, two, go. So the child grew and what? So tell your neighbor there will be incubation. There will be preparation. And then at the fullness of time, just like that woman that is pregnant, the baby will be there, incubated in the womb. There will be preparation. Even the body of the woman will be prepared. And say, when the fullness of time comes, there will now be signs. The body will start changing. You know, the pelvic of the woman changes. The structure of her bones. Different things. You begin to even notice. Even many women that didn't really get fat, didn't really get during the pregnancy. That last 2 weeks, you start noticing that the nose is getting big. Different things. And after a while, there is what? Contraction. When the contraction starts coming, and she starts getting some signs, they say the time is near. They now know the fullness of time. So watch this again. I want you to read it and read out loud. One, two, go. Till the day of his what? Tell your neighbor there is a fullness of time. How many of you know in your spirit that God has created you for a great purpose? How many of you feel in your spirit there is a seed of greatness within you? How many of you feel in your spirit that God is preparing you to use you mightily? How many of you? You feel it in your spirit. Let me tell you a secret. What you're supposed to do is not trying to announce yourself. What you're supposed to do is to learn to walk with the Holy Ghost every day. Waiting season is not wasting season. Waiting season is preparation season. Stop trying to promote yourself. Stop trying to become famous. Stop trying. No, if you have a business, drive your market. That's your business. I'm talking about your personal life. If you have a brand to promote, put in money. I'm talking about your personal life. Stop trying. Stop. What you need to do is, God, what's my training? What's going on now? There is a preparation. You have to start growing strong in the spirit. I learned how to value sitting in my room talking to a brother. I learned how to value sitting in the classroom talking to a sister. And I'm talking to them with my heart as if I'm preaching to a hall full of people. I had to learn to follow up one soul. And I did it with all my heart and I still do. You come into my office and I'm talking to you. It's as if you're the only person that exists in the world. At that moment, you're the only one. That's when God taught me the value of one. Until God gives you A heart that values one, he can't trust you with many. Preparation. Preparation. Your pulpit has to be on the street first. Your pulpit has to be in your workplace first. Before you're going to be trusted to stand here to speak to thousands and millions of people. Preparation. Your heart will be tested. What do you want? Do you want to serve people or do you want to use people for your own aggrandizement, for your own gratification? Do you want fame or do you want Jesus to be known? Do you want to be known or do you want to make Jesus known? Do you want money? Do you want respect? What do you want? Your heart will be tested. There'll be times you feel like you're supposed to, and God will ask you, do you own your life? Somebody said to me one day, say, Pastor, by now I'm not supposed to be here. I told him, when you slept yesterday night, did you wake yourself up? Are you aware, you that say you are not supposed to be here, are you aware that your mates that are in the grave now? Do you have power to keep yourself alive? Who told you by this time you're not supposed to be here? Did you write your own program? Why utter pride before God? I say, humble yourself. My concern every day, I want to tell you this. This is going to help you. My concern every day is, today, did I walk in faith with the Lord? Did I live as he planned for me to live? Did I please him by living by faith today? That call he told me to make, did I make it? That person he told me to give to, did I give to that person? The person he told me to pray for, did I pray? When he told me to stand up and fix that area of the ministry, did I? When he told me to fix that area of my finances, did I? Did I live today that by the time I close my eyes to sleep in the night, there'll be a smile on my face knowing he's smiling? That's all that matters, day by day. Once the Lord is pleased with me, once I pleasure his heart, I am in the center of his will and grace. And don't worry, everybody's timetable is different at the proper time. For each phase of my life, at the fullness of time, there will be a manifestation to Israel. Somebody under the sound of my voice, stop beating yourself down. A whole lot of people are wasting their preparation time because they are wearied, because they are tired. They want to come out. And because they don't come out when they are supposed to come out, they feel tired. My mantra is this. From where you are, do the best you can with what you have. And be grateful. My competition is with myself that I'll be better tomorrow. That I will finally learn the lessons God is teaching me. That's all. And if he chooses that this is all there will be, then it's his choice. A day in his court is better. To be in the center of his will is peace and prosperity. This is the mystery of life. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. I don't want another person's ministry. I want the purpose of God for my life. I don't want another person. So don't covet your neighbor's wife. That means don't covet your neighbor's purpose. Don't covet your neighbor's properties. Don't covet your neighbor's prosperity. God has his purpose and his plan for you. And there is a fullness of time for every stage And every phase of that journey of destiny, there is a fullness of time. You went to primary school, there was a fullness of time. You took the exam, common entrance, you passed, then you entered another level. You went to secondary school, junior secondary, there was a fullness of time. You took junior WAEC, and then you entered senior. And then you started doing specification. Will I major in arts or science? After secondary school, there are different phases. At different stages, there will be fullness of time. Do not give up. God never wastes time. God is always on time. Give him praise. You better give him praise. I want to give you the scripture, and I want to write this, and then I'll be through with this. I want you to look at John chapter 7, verse 2. I'm going to read to verse 10. Give me the NIV. NIV, please. John chapter 7, verse 2. And I'm going to read till verse 10. Now, but when the Jewish feast of tabernacles was near, verse 3. I'm going to read till verse 10. Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do." So he was doing miracles at home, doing miracles at different times. So sometimes, you know, yesterday, Mama shared a testimony with me, and I believe the persons will share it at the proper time, of someone that had a pancreatic cancer of the pancreas, of the pancreas, or whatever it's called. Can you imagine? I did microbiology. Okay. I was busy studying my Bible concordance then. Okay. So, and they've been believing the Lord, different things. This man was so emaciated, became so dry. The wife kept praying, "What is this? What is this?" The particular drug that we are giving to him, you know, was, and then during February, Worship and Miracles, the husband had traveled out of the country back, and she was just praying and standing in faith. Sent the link to the husband. The husband was watching. They believed. And then they believed they received their healing, but there was no manifestation yet. And then one particular Wednesday, during the communion, I was praying, and I mentioned the case that God was healing cancers, and they knew it was their word. Got to the husband. The husband said, "I just felt different now. I just felt different now. I don't know what it is." And then he told the husband, "Go for a test immediately." The man said, I just want to enjoy the feeling. I don't want to go for a test." But after much persuasion, he goes for a test. And they did all the biopsy and different things. And the doctors asked, "Why did you come?" No trace of cancer. No trace of cancer in the body. Cancer of the pancreas. They were sharing this testimony. They were all crying. All crying. All crying. We've heard testimonies. Sometimes people might say, "Pastor, God is doing all these things in land. May we go shout them everywhere now." So Jesus, look at what the people, his brother said to him. Jesus' brother said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do." Verse 4. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. That's the thing. God will keep you in the secret until your desire for fame dies. The reason you're frustrated is because you still want fame. Now, if you're an unbeliever and you're worldly and you're carnally minded, go and work for your fame. That's your life. After these things, the hidden seek. If you're a spiritual man, never seek for fame. In the kingdom, what you gain is what you lose.
For everything grace will bestow on you, your heart will give it up. Your heart will put it on the altar. You're here, you're a pastor. You know you're powerful. Every time you pray for people, they get healed. And you feel like by now, and you're feeling frustrated. Frustration does not call men to Christ. And frustration does not call people to ministry. If frustration calls you to ministry, you make mistake. Ministry is not a response to frustration. It's a response to thus says the Lord. It means there is still something about you that feel that there is something you can do for God. And when you start a church, and when you're giving a church, that's the thing that will keep your church down. Because you keep thinking there is something you can do for God. You're still powerful in your mind. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world. Verse 5. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Verse 6. Therefore Jesus told them, the right time, somebody say Kairos, for me has not yet come. Somebody say the fullness of time. For you, any time is right. But a pregnant woman knows that she can't give birth to a baby the third month. You must allow that baby to stay in the incubation, inside that womb, and be prepared until there is what? A fullness of time. Some of the blessings some of us want now, we've not even allowed the Holy Ghost to give us the kind of character and prepare us and arm us with the kind of stamina that can handle that level of blessing. But we want it now. And there is no father that will give you a prosperity that will destroy you. The devil can. So for unbelievers, they will enter into prosperity, into money they are not prepared for. And that money will become their entrapment. That money will become their destruction. The Bible says prosperity destroys the fool. The prosperity of a fool destroys him. But God wants you strong in spirit. God wants you increase in wisdom. Build strength and capacity. Because for every level of lifting, there are devils to take. There are strong men to face. And if running with footmen has wearied you, the place you're asking for, you're going to be dealing with horses. You're going to be dealing with chariots. Can you take it? If running with footmen, you're tired, can you handle horses and chariots? The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. Verse 7, stand on your feet. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. Verse 8, fast please. You go to the feast, for I'm not yet going up to the feast. He didn't say I won't come. I'm not yet. Because for me, the right time has not come. He knows that if he had gone with them, they would be shouting. Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. Verse 10. Everybody read. Verse 10. And read out loud. One to go. Tell your neighbor there is a time to stay in the incubator. There is a time to allow the Lord to hide you. Say, that's preparation time. Say, that's growth time. Say, that's building capacity time. Tell your neighbor, there will always be a fullness of time. So instead of getting frustrated that your manifestation has not come, stay focused on my preparation. Whether you're in the preparation time or in the manifestation time, whenever you're in God's timing, a prophetic kairos, things will always work out in your life. Things are happening for me, happening in my life. I'm touching thousands and multiple thousands of lives, impacting my world all over the nations of the world. There is no nation you go now, somewhere, somehow, you will find a mark of the ministry God has given me. Somebody somewhere has been touched. Multiple thousands upon thousands, in their tens and in their hundreds of thousands, touched all over the world. I'm living for Jesus. God has blessed me with a good wife, wonderful children, blessed me with peace. I wake up in the morning with a smile and a praise. I go to sleep in the night with a smile and a praise. What else do I want? Every other level has its fullness of time. So let me tell you, never lose faith. Never lose your praise. Never lose your gratitude. Never get to a time when you get frustrated because God kept you in a place. Never in your life. Did you hear what I said? Give him praise. But I have an announcement to say to you. For the trainings you've had the past few years, let me tell you what time it is. Fullness of time. Now is the time of showing. Now is the time of favor. Now is the time of shining forth in the name of Jesus. Say, it's my time. It's my time. Shout your biggest hallelujah. It's Kairos now. Yes, we have supernatural intelligence. It's Kairos now. Listen, there is a shifting. For all the trainings of the past, the fullness of time has come. At another level, then we also enter preparation time. But this is the time for the recompense of our service, our prayers, our faith, our labors, and all our endeavors in the spirit. Your due season is here. Take it now! Say, it's my due season! One more time, the most blessed give the highest praise.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.